We will now play you a short animation. It will lay the groundwork for much of what we will discuss today, and the run time is about 3 minutes.
On July 5th, 2013, at about 10:50 p.m., an MMA train carrying petroleum crude oil in 72 Class 111 tank cars arrived at Nantes, Quebec. In keeping with the railway's practice, the locomotive engineer parked the train for the night on a descending grade on the main track. After shutting down 4 of the 5 locomotives, the engineer applied 7 handbrakes. Railway rules require that handbrakes alone must be capable of holding a train, and this must be verified by a test. That night, however, the locomotive air brakes were left on during the test, meaning the train was being held by a combination of handbrakes and air brakes. It also gave the false impression that the handbrakes alone were enough. The engineer then contacted 2 rail traffic controllers, one in Farnham, Quebec, to let him know the train was secure, and the other in Bangor, Maine, to discuss the smoking lead locomotive and the problems it might cause for the next crew. As the smoke was expected to settle, it was agreed to leave the train as it was and deal with it the next morning. Shortly after the engineer left for the night, the Nantes Fire Department responded to a 911 call of a fire on the train. Firefighters extinguished the blaze on the lead locomotive by shutting off the fuel. Then, following railway instructions, they turned off the electrical breakers. After discussing the situation with the rail traffic controller in Farnham and an MMA employee who had been dispatched to the scene, everyone departed. With all the locomotives shut down, the air brake system began to lose pressure, and the brakes gradually became less and less effective. About an hour later, just before 1 a.m., the air pressure dropped to a point where the combination of air brakes and handbrakes could no longer hold the train. The train then began to roll downhill toward Lac Mégantic, 7 miles away. As it moved down the grade, the train picked up speed, reaching a top speed of 65 miles per hour. The train derailed just past the Frontenac Street crossing. Almost all of the derailed tank cars were damaged, many of them from large breaches, and about 6 million liters of crude oil began pouring into the streets. Fire began almost immediately, and the ensuing blaze and explosions left 47 people dead. Another 2,000 citizens were forced from their homes, and much of the downtown core was destroyed.
So those are the basic facts. A crude oil train parked on a main track on a descending grade, with the lead locomotive running and 7 handbrakes set. A fire begins in an engine that has been causing problems for days. Emergency responders shut off the engine, but then the air holding the locomotive brakes leaks off. Without enough force from the handbrakes, the train begins its tragic descent downhill. When you first look at an accident, there's a tendency to focus only on those basic facts. But our investigations must also look at the context. And in Lac Mégantic, that context was about more than handbrakes or what the engineer did or didn't do that night. In all, we found 18 factors that played a role. Take any one of them out of the equation, and this accident may not have happened. The context starts with MMA, a short line railway running its operations at the margins, choosing to lower the track speeds rather than invest more in infrastructure, cutting corners on engine maintenance and training, and then relying on employees to follow the rules. Complex systems, though, require more than that, because experience has taught us that even the most motivated and well-trained employees make mistakes. And that is why the best safety systems identify risks and put defenses in place in advance. In fact, this is the very basis of SMS, safety management systems. But MMA did not have a functioning SMS. It did not effectively manage risk, either in day-to-day operations or when operations changed, not when reducing crew numbers from 2 to 1, nor when transporting increasing carloads of crude oil. This was a company with a weak safety culture, a company where people did what was needed to get the job done, rather than always following the rules. A company where unsafe conditions and unsafe practices were allowed to continue. Which begs the question, who then was in a position to check on this company to make sure safety standards were being met? Who was the guardian of public safety? That is the role of the government, to provide checks and balances, oversight. And yet this booming industry where unit trains were shipping more and more oil across Canada and across the border ran largely unchecked. Yes, Transport Canada knew about some of the problems at MMA, but the follow-up wasn't always there. Instead, the focus was on making sure railway companies had an SMS, not how they were using it and whether it was effective. In the weeks and months following this accident, the TSB communicated critical safety messages about unattended trains and the classification of petroleum crude oil. And then last January, we went further, making 3 recommendations for enhanced standards for Class 111 tank cars, for railways to conduct route planning and analysis, and for emergency response assistance plans whenever liquid hydrocarbons are transported by rail. And let me be clear, this accident has prompted strong action. Transport Canada and the railway industry responded faster and went farther than I have ever seen them go before. But more still needs to be done. That is why today we are making 2 new recommendations. The first is going back to basics on train securement. Transport Canada must require railways to put in place additional physical defenses to prevent runaway trains. This could mean things like wheel chocks or modern braking technology. Because right now, Transport Canada is relying on the rules, and they still allow a train carrying dangerous goods to be left unattended on a descending grade. Our second recommendation goes back to what I just said about the role of government and the need for better oversight. The TSB isn't the only organization to point this out either. A report last fall from Canada's Auditor General found similar problems. Here's what it means. It's not enough for a company to have a safety management system on paper. That SMS also has to work to do what it was designed to do. And the best way to ensure this happens is for Transport Canada to audit railways' SMS, to audit them in sufficient depth and with sufficient frequency to be sure their safety systems are effective and corrective action is being taken when risks are found. The events of that night, the what happened, are now well understood, and we now know why the situation developed over time. A weak safety culture at MMA, poor training of employees, tank cars that didn't offer enough protection. And then Transport Canada didn't audit railways often enough and thoroughly enough to know how those companies were really managing or not managing risk. For the people of Lac-Mégantic, today's report won't do anything to bring back their loved ones or to rebuild their town. We know that. We do. But we can point the way toward a better future, a safer future, one where the trains that travel through our cities and through our towns are no longer feared.